Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What's in the news today?
With so many stories,
dozens of stories,
we're bound to miss a few.
I'm sorry, did I miss something?
It's In Case We Missed It with our Killer Bees.
And here's the stuff you missed.
All right, these are the stories that we want to get to. We've been dying to get to In Case We Missed It. Fernando Tatis Jr. was a big story in Major League Baseball and nationally. You've had some hot takes about this, too. Fernando Tatis Sr. saying that Major League Baseball is going to lose millions of viewers because of the suspension levied against his son, Fernando Tatis Jr. Performance-enhancing drugs. What do you think about the San Diego Padres superstar getting popped for PEDs?
I got a lot of thoughts, Jeremy. I mean, the first one is sometimes it's better to be Andy Pettit and say, my bad, I apologize, I did it, as opposed to trying to be Roger Clemens. And then it doesn't take much on the Googles these days for people to be able to figure out that the cure for ringworm had nothing to do with why he tested positive. And his old man saying with a completely different excuse that was completely unrelatable. The fact of the matter is, for all of the flat out straight up BS because of a John Boy and a theory on social media, Altuve was absolutely just villainized and criticized and all those things. But yet you're not going to go after a Tatis Jr. now for tangible things that are cheating, that takes a guy that is in all these commercials, that are doing all these things, and not roast his ass? Like, the fact that his team, his general manager and president, a guy who in Clevenger notoriously did this exact same thing earlier in his career, calling him out and going, at a certain point, he's going to have to grow up and act like one of us and be a teammate. Like, those are the things that people should be really jumping on and saying, stop bashing a guy like Altuve, who all he does is just hit his ass off and love the game, and start looking at a real true guy that should have the freaking crosshairs on him.
It is pretty fascinating with the backlash of Altuve versus the backlash of Tatis. It almost feels like it's a non-factor, right? Like, Fernando Tatis is kind of going to be mocked for this. But the animosity, the backlash of him testing positive for a PED, it doesn't really have the same feel of the back. Like, I know he has to serve the suspension, whereas the Astros didn't have any suspensions. But it feels like the public perception is okay with Fernando Tatis Jr., not so much the Astros.
They're still running the Dairy Queen and the Gatorade ads with his picture in it.
Well, they've already paid for all that. They don't want to take that off the inventory.
And here's the other thing, Jeremy. It's not just that cheating. It's the blatant immaturity that caused you to Jeff Kent to go ride your motorcycle until you broke your wrist. So there's multiple times where it's me, not team, and yet that's okay?
It's okay for Fernando Tatis Jr. It's okay for the perception. But even, like, the PEDs now, I feel like people don't really care about it as much as, like, back in the 90s when everybody was like, oh, yeah, let's take them to court. Let's get them in the courtroom and have them, you know, talk to Congress and all that. Now you just have dudes popping, serving the 60 games, and then they're back and no one thinks about it. When was the last time you thought about Ramon Laureano with, you know, PED use? It doesn't come up.
That's a good point. It's
like,
very good point.
It's totally changed.
Now it's Ramon Laureano as opposed to like a big time
player.
Yeah,
but Fernando Tatis versus Barry Bonds, who never failed a drug test. But we still look at Barry Bonds, who never failed a drug test. And we look at him as like, you know, the symbol of performance enhancing, which he probably was. But he broke the code. He tarnished the legacy of the game. Fernando Tatis Jr., 60 games, he'll be back and no one will bat an eye.
And league by league, look at leagues that basically have just swept it under the rug and said it's not a big deal anymore. At baseball, it's half a season, 80 games. Football, you miss a month and you're back.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. 713-780-ESPN. What are the stories that we missed that you want to hear about? Here are some of the other ones that we've been dying to talk about. Jake Paul batting practice. I've been trying to call out Jake Paul. He won't respond because he's scared. He's trying to duck me. I've been trying to call out Jake Paul for a fight. He likes to fight. these, you know, celebrities. I'm not much of a celebrity. I'm barely a local minor celebrity. But I would love to go toe-to-toe with Jake Paul. I am calling him out right now, and in case we missed it, I want Jake Paul, Jeremy Branham, wherever. I don't care if I have to go to New York, Mexico, Europe. I want Jake Paul in the squared circle.
Are you sure you're going to be able to keep your wits about you after getting your head beat in?
By Jake Paul?
You
Jake Paul's not going to beat me,
you can't
my brains
beat
in?
Beat the Golden Girls in aerobics without being sore for
train.
2 weeks.
I'll train.
But you're going to beat, you're going to fight Jake Paul?
Absolutely. I'm calling him out. Okay. I want to fight Jake Paul.
I want to see
he
it.
And I,
look, the
Madison
way you love
Square
drama,
Garden,
I would,
I'm Mecca.
I will be in your corner to support you.
I won't do it for less than $1 million.
There you go.
Won't do it for less than $1 million. Another one, the stories that we've been dying to get to. Deshaun Watson and the NFL are talking. They're
today
talking.
Or tomorrow, right?
And they're having, apparently they're talking around the clock. They're having active settlement talks, which in my opinion, if they're having active settlement talks, we know that the NFL proposed the, what was it, 12 games, $10 million?
Yeah, $10 million, and they wanted a full season. The NFL wanted a full season.
Their proposal, though, with the...
It was open-ended.
Well, no, they had 12 games, $10 million before the judge, Sue Robinson, determined it. Like, they had settlement
right, before,
talks.
But then afterwards...
But that was their agenda, and Deshaun Watson said zero. So, like, neither one was going to get what they wanted. But the NFL's settlement offer to Deshaun Watson, which he turned down once upon a time, was 12 games, $10 million. Mm-hmm. So this tells me that if they're having active settlement talks, now, if a deal is not done, then it's in the hands of the arbiter. But this tells me that if a deal is done, it's not going to be a full year suspension for Deshaun Watson.
I think that after that, when they said with the evidence that they knew were existed, that they were thinking that it should be either, you know, open-ended suspension or it should be a minimum of a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that now, if you think that if they're going to come down from that and meet somewhere in the middle, it's probably about $7.5 million and probably about 12 games.
Yeah, I think they're going to come off the games a little bit and maybe off the final. I bet you it's going to be around 10 games. I think I like the 7.5 number.
7.5 and 12, and you got 7.5 and 10.
Now, Deshaun Watson's got to say yes to this. He's got to say yes to this, but at the fear
How
of being
can he
a
not,
full
though?
Exactly. The fear of a full year, I think he has to settle.
Or the fear of a whole year and maybe more.
Yeah.
I mean, how Indefinite. Can you not? You're trying to get all this behind you as quick as possible, and you knew this year was basically a wash anyway. I just think you have to do it. You're not gonna actually balk and push this thing any further to linger around.
I think ultimately this gets settled, which the NFL would love to have, because that means that you don't have a player suing them. The NFLPA is not going to be breathing down their neck, and then the NFL is also going to add additional punishment to Judge Robinson's decision. Aaron Rodgers is bashing his young receivers. He's got Dobbs out there. He's got Christian Watson out there. He's mad at all these guys for dropping footballs. He was vocally criticizing them. I think he mentioned in the media, too. These guys got to step up.
Yep.
How do you feel about your favorite player, Aaron Rodgers, bashing the young receivers of the Green Bay Packers?
I told you it was going to happen because I've seen it happen time and time again with all these different guys that turned out to be great receivers. But he's going to – that's why I said they needed one more veteran receiver, because he was very specific in saying that Lazard looks like he should be a wide receiver one. He looked great. He loves his boy Randall Cobb and said he's not the guy that he's talking about. He also said Sammy Watkins has been fantastic. But the guys he's calling out, it's because it's the same thing every time he gets a young receiver on the roster. He is all about timing. He is all about looking good. He is all about making sure guys catch the ball when he puts it where it needs to be. He made very specific – one of the throws he made was his best throw of the day, and a rookie dropped it right between his hands. That's why his ego got in the way. But it's better to get that out of the way now and get the rookies very clear understanding of what's expected if you're going to be on the field when it matters. And so I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I actually like it. I step up, you know. This is the NFL. This is a professional man's game. Professional football players need to look good on a professional
Doesn't
football
field.
Doesn't
matter what you did in college. It's time to step up if you want to play.
Yeah, I think he's trying to, one, get the most out of them. Two, say, look, it's time to step up. Like, this isn't, like you said, the college game. So I loved every bit of it. I loved Aaron Rodgers calling him out, if I'm being completely honest. I was watching Hard Knocks last night. Fell asleep. Couldn't make it through it. I did that last week, too.
I would bet that Brendan didn't. I bet you he made through every word.
Honestly, I thought this week's... I mean, I'm not a big Hard Knocks fan in the first place. I thought this week's was more boring than week one. If it wasn't my team, I wouldn't be watching it.
Ed Werder was tweeting about the fact that Dan Campbell makes it and is the reason to watch, but there's so many good storylines, and I'm like, where, what, who?
I said this the other day when Jake took a shot at the Lions on Hard Knocks. I think Hard Knocks is overhyped every year. You know what I was thinking yesterday I would compare it to? Super Bowl commercials. Every single year after the Super Bowl, people say, commercials weren't that good this year. Every single year after Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks is kind of boring this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a boring show.
That's been the show. I see. I like the behind-the-scenes stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I like a peek behind the curtain. I just don't feel like they do it as good as they used to. And they're also not getting a huge peek around the behind the curtain anymore. Because teams are so paranoid with stuff they're giving up,
yep.
So like you're not getting in the quarterback rooms where like things are really juicy and interesting.
Right. Right.
You're not getting any. You're just getting surface level television.
And then the fact that they try to carry it over now into the regular season. Well, if you thought that they were going to be guarded in the preseason, there's no way you're going to get anything out of them in the regular season when everything matters and counts. So I think that maybe you get to the point where it's kind of seen its day as Hard Knocks.
See, I used to. I tried to watch the in-season one last year, the Colts. But again, it's like they're so scared to get any sort of information.
Yeah, they're going
to
be so tight to the vest in the regular season.
All or Nothing did that in-season for Amazon, but they did it like well after the season was over, and that was way better television because like they would give you more stuff. They'd be in the film rooms. They'd be in the position rooms. Like they would give you a lot juicier stuff, but it wasn't like – I mean, it was in-season when it was filmed, but they showed it 6 months later. I actually preferred that.
Well, but part of Hard Knocks, too, was that storyline of that guy on the bubble – where, you know, you're pulling for him and you're watching the waiver wire and you want to see at the end of it, did he make it? Did he miss? If he got cut, did he get picked up? Those are the kind of things that gave you an extra storyline or two. In the regular season, you're not going to have that anyway. But I think we're getting closer to the fact that Hard Knocks might be a thing of the past.
Yeah, I don't think it's going away. But I feel like a lot of people just aren't as interested in it as in the past. Patrick Reed filing a $750 million defamation suit against Brando Chambly and the Golf Channel. It's a lot of money.
Plus, he's such a big D-bag. No one's going to...
Chambly or Patrick Reed?
Well, they both are. In this case, they both are, but Patrick Reed might be the biggest, and he's a cheater. So, yeah, there's no one that's going to be sympathetic.
It sounds like
to
you just defamed Patrick Reed. I think you're next. I think you're going to be added to the $750 million
defamation
suit. You saw
the video? Did he cheat or didn't he?
I mean, it's going to be very hard for Patrick Reed to prove any of this.
Oh, that's a nice high road.
It's going to be very hard for Patrick Reed to defend any of this. Now, or prove any of it. Tiger Woods was talking to the PGA for like 3.5 hours. Was it today or yesterday?
He's trying to get all the key players on the right page, on the same page.
They're already gone.
A lot of them are. The whole Cam Smith thing is very interesting to me.
The fact that
he said he's going to the LIV Tour, but he hasn't signed yet.
I don't think he said it.
He said it without saying it. Let's put it that way. And so you know that the PGA is just completely pissed off. This guy could actually take the biggest prize for the entire year away at the end of it, which is why it was even weirder that he got a post-round penalty of 2 strokes last weekend when there was a chance he could really have climbed up into a dominant position in the FedEx Cup standing.
Scottie Scheffler walked in his line, too, which in golf,
that's a no-no.
They're going to tell you strongly that they didn't like that. That's what they'll tell you in golf.
Slap your wrist.
That's who? Yeah, they'll slap your wrist. That's in case we missed it. We were talking earlier about the criticism of Dusty Baker, comparing it a bit to the criticism of Bill O'Brien. A lot of people like to say beating a dead horse. They feel like it's not okay to criticize a first-place manager, a first-place head coach. Is it okay? Is it okay to criticize a first-place manager, a first-place head coach? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I want to ask you, 713-780-ESPN, are we beating a dead horse? Is it okay to criticize a first-place manager? Is it okay to criticize a first-place head coach? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Key from L.A., our guy, our boy from Hollywood. He says, I hear you guys talk about Dusty all day, every day, complaining about his lineup and never once blame the players on the field.
I just did.
I think we criticize the players for poor performance. Maybe not as much as Dusty,
But I blamed the loss last night. JV thought he made the right pitch. He didn't make the right pitch. They lost the game on the field. Neris didn't do what Neris was expected to do. And I said that it was the difference between the two losses.
I'm sorry. Have you ever heard Joel talk about Abreu?
I love that guy.
Yeah, he criticizes Brian Abreu despite his very, very small earned run average. And
small ability to get out of jams that he created for himself. But, hey, the playoffs aren't here yet.
Don't get excited.
It's regular season, and they're in first place, and they have the best record in the American League. Don't you dare worry about that now and think it might come back to get you later.
How's Seth Martinez doing?
He's doing great for the Space Cowboys because he had more options.
See, that's a – like that. Key's point's interesting, though, because I think we're critical of what needs to be critical of. The Astros' success this season, I mean, you look at players through the lineup. Jose Altuve, a good player. You're not going to find a whole lot of criticism with Altuve. We brought up Jose Altuve making a base-running blunder, and he's very prone to base-running blunders. We did talk about that.
Tucker missed the cutoff man last night.
I just thought of the best example. How did the Killer Bees feel about Jake Odorizzi?
Who?
How did the Killer Bees? We give criticism where criticism is warranted. Like, who are you going to criticize right now? Like, we criticized Verlander giving up two runs in the seventh. Montero the other night, not doing the job, could have avoided the whole Dusty Baker conversation. Not taking advantage of a bullpen after you did well against Dylan Cease. The criticism's there. When the criticism is warranted, the Killer Bees give the criticism.
You also pointed out you didn't want to use a guy you used the day before when you didn't use that guy the day before. So it was easy to point a finger that way.
Yeah. Criticism, when it's warranted, criticism will be given. 713-780-ESPN. Is it okay to criticize a first-place manager, first-place coach? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Ronnie, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair to criticize, because honestly, I can't stand Dusty Baker. I know a lot of people defend the guy. But there is a reason why he's never won the big one. I mean, listen, let me go back a little bit first. I criticized the heck out of A.J. Hinch. I did, but I still think he's one of the greatest managers we ever had. But, I mean, some of the things he does just doesn't make any sense. And the teams he had with the Giants and the Cubs, I mean, seriously, he couldn't get it done with those teams. And it doesn't look like he's going to get it done with this team. I'm not saying it's not going to happen this year, but I have my doubts. There's just a couple of things that he does that's just glaringly wrong. To me, the number one thing is the Chaz McCormick playing him against right-handed pitchers. I just don't get it.
Who would you go with? In center field against righties, though?
Okay, let me finish what I'm saying first. The guy strikes out almost every single
Ronnie,
time against
Ronnie.
The Ronnie,
is this show the Killer Ronnies or is it the Killer Bees?
No, I'm just saying. I really do think that there's not a lot. I know there's not a lot of options, but this guy's a for sure out against righties. He does strike out almost every single time, and I know Dubon and Myers.
Ronnie.
Let me finish, Jeremy.
Ronnie, it's not the Killer Ronnies, Ronnie.
Let me finish.
You think that was Ronnie Baines who hates Cal and
if Easterby? He used that line, though, he's listened to us for a long time.
No. We appreciate the call, Ronnie. Now,
we've used that line on each other.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. We appreciate the call, Ronnie. We really do. Now, we're just having some fun with you. I don't really – like. Here's Branham defending Dusty. What is your alternative in center field? Chaz doesn't even play center field, so I really don't know what Ronnie's saying.
But he should.
Like, I agree that, like, okay, should Jake Myers play center field against righties because it's not much of a gap between him offensively and Chaz or Dubon? Yeah, his defense is better. So, yeah, go Jake Myers in center field against righties. I agree with you on that. Now, he should play every day in center field against lefties. But the secondary point to that, Ronnie, is Chaz McCormick has two starts in center field, period, since Jake Myers has returned to this team and Mauricio Dubon has 10, five times more.
It just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. And that's the one thing that, again, is easy to criticize for all the people that want to be staunch supporters of the best team in the division with the best team in the American League. There's nothing to talk about here. Sure there is, because you can be taking advantage of that big lead that you have in the division, and you could try out the different combinations that you might be forced to use now that you knew the inevitable that Michael Brantley didn't look like he was coming back. You need to try Trey Mancini more frequently in left field. Not every game, like you said. Center field, you need to platoon so that you know that if Chaz is your guy against lefties, and if you want to say that either the two other guys is your guy against righties, then make that more of a pressing focus for you to figure out which of the two guys is going to go against righties, which is the guy that's going to be your hyper utility, if it's going to be Dubon. But you have time to figure it out before it actually means something. But try to do those things now to show us you're trying to figure it out before it means something, instead of just throwing, you know, caution to the wind and going, today the eight ball says Dubon's batting leadoff, playing center field.
That was interesting. That was kind of more of a, I don't want to change the rest of my batting order, so I'm just going to leave Dubon. I'm just going to put Dubon in for Pena in the leadoff
spot.
That's what
I said. The other thing is kind of lazy. Dubon is playing for Altuve. Altuve bats leadoff. So, well, takes care of itself. Then Dubon bats leadoff.
Yeah, he doesn't rearrange a whole lot. So 3367, it's okay to criticize. It's your jobs, but you also have to give him some credit for part of the success they've had. You got to have some skill to manage a team.
I did that the other day.
I think we've given we give Dusty a lot of grief. I don't want to sit here and say we don't. We talk about Dusty's attributes in the areas that he excels in.
We talk about
the clubhouse,
he was the absolute right guy coming out of the scandal and the punishment to take this team back into baseball, both in the bubble and out of the bubble, with all the scrutiny, with all of the negativity, with all that they were about to embark on, he was the right guy. And I think with all that being said, there was still the team aspect where I don't think expectations were super high. There was a lot of questioning and a lot of question marks about, could this team actually take all this and be good again? And the fact that he took them there and he got them to a World Series and he did a lot of fantastic things. Not taking anything away from any of that. I said, from a Hall of Fame resume as a manager to an upstanding and outstanding career as a player, and the fact that he is so likable and Paw Paw is a very endearing name for a guy that you would love to have be a part of your family and be a guy that supports you too, that those are all things that I've said. But I'm also not going to shy away from when he does things that, instead of just saying, Dusty going to Dusty, that's fine. No, it's not fine. And it shouldn't be what a Hall of Fame manager is doing with a team that's capable of winning a World Series.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Is it okay to criticize first-place manager, first-place coach? Also, who is immune to criticism? Who is above it all? In sports, people said Jordan, people said Floyd Mayweather. Who is above any criticism in sports? I can tell you who's above any criticism in the spirits game. It's Gentle Ben Spirits, vodka, gin, bourbon, all part of the rotation for me, and they do it better than anybody else. Gentle Ben, a line of ultra-premium Texas spirits. They use their state-of-the-art, innovative Presedo craft technology that's better in purity, it's better in aroma, and it's better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Ben, compare it to your brand, and you're going to taste the huge difference that I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Ben Spirits, A&M Class of 85, by the way, had me out to the tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought. And ever since then, I've been a Gentle Ben man. You got to head out to the tasting room in Alvin. They have their fantastic bourbon there, the only place to get their bourbon. Double platinum award winning bourbon, exclusive to the tasting room in Alvin. Also, if you're looking for a place to host your fantasy football draft, why don't you head out to the tasting room in Alvin? Class up your league a little bit, and you can taste that bourbon. You can taste that vodka. You can taste that gin that is smooth, clean, eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You can find Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs, also online at gentlebend.com. If you're in League City, head to Hill's Liquor on South Shore. They have it there. Sit back with good company and raise a glass of the very best. Gentle Ben, the union of tradition and invention.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Who is above criticism? A lot of folks don't like you criticizing Dusty Baker. So who is above criticism in the sports world? I have a good one. I have a good one that's above criticism in the sports world. I think Brian Abreu is above criticism.
stop.
How could he not be? He's one of the best strikeout pitchers in all of baseball. He's got a minuscule ERA. Brian Abreu should never be criticized.
Never, huh? Okie dokie.
Should never be criticized.
Coming up next on the home of the Houston Astros.
What are you going to say bad
about Brian Abreu for president?
Nothing. I don't think he's eligible.
Oh.
I don't think he can be the president of the United
Fair
States.
Fair point.
9317 says Khabib. I can never say his last name right. Nurmagomedov.
Close.
But you know Khabib, the undefeated MMA-er. I want to see him fight Usman. I know it's not the exact same weight class. I think Khabib would have to go up. If you get a little Khabib Usman, I would love to see a little Khabib Usman. Here's how I would criticize Khabib, though. He retired too early. He deprived his fans of so many great fights. That's how I would criticize Khabib.
That's fair. I mean, I said to you guys in the break, I think Tom Brady is probably, in my mind, the guy that comes front and center to mind as a guy that it's really hard to criticize. I mean, even when he was getting his ass blown out in the Super Bowl, they found a way to come back and win. I mean, he married a supermodel. I mean,
he kisses his son on the lips, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, 14. He's a huge family guy. I mean, he's taking time off from camp right now.
Hold on, are you saying that's good that he kisses his 14-year-old son on the lips?
I didn't say anything about kissing his son anywhere. I said the fact that he's a huge family guy and that, you know, he's always talked about family first and the fact that he's the greatest of all time to do it. There's not, and he really has nothing off the field to criticize. He's the Cinderella story.
Just told you one.
Okay, everybody's different. I don't know if you're going to kiss your son on the lips or not.
What's the age that you can't do that anymore?
I mean, that again is up for interpretation. I think today's day and age, it's different. I mean, did you grow up in a household where your dad kissed you on the lips?
Never.
Never?
No.
Okay.
No, I've never been kissed on the lips by a man.
Okay.
Ever. Have you?
Yeah.
What was the oldest?
I don't remember the age, but I know that both of my parents in the, I don't know if it was a Midwest thing or not, but both of my parents did when we were young.
Brendan, what about you?
No, but it wasn't something like, I'm familiar with people who did.
What's the oldest you've been kissed on the lips by a man? 713-780-3776.
Sure, there'll be plenty of women to chime in. Yesterday.
Yeah. Keith says Ray Allen was above criticism. Oh, well, here's a legitimate one before we talk about Ray. With Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. He deflated footballs. He got suspended. What was it, 4 games by the NFL?
Yeah, but a lot of time. But even,
cheater.
No, because even then, it wasn't on him. That was on the equipment staff, the ball boys.
Oh,
that
they
was on,
just took the
that
heat.
That was on the organization. They never put it on him.
Oh, they took the heat. It was all Brady. He's okay. A cheater. He's a okay. Cheater. He's won all of his Super Bowls because he's been deflating balls his entire career.
It's a bit of a stretch, but if you were forced to criticize Brady, it's probably the closest you can get.
If you have to stoop to the level of bringing his balls into this conversation, then so be it.
It wasn't me stooping. It was him stooping.
Oh, you brought it up.
Well, you're talking about criticism of Brady. 6817, Ray Allen above criticism. He got a pretty shot, man.
Not just a pretty,
pretty shot.
I mean, look, there's another guy, and obviously I've known him a long time too, but from the fact that he got game was a success, the fact that, you know, he's all about living a healthy lifestyle and working out every day, and he's raising his kids the right way, and I think he's up there.
Yeah, he had such a pretty shot. I loved watching him shoot the basketball. One of the best that's ever done it. 713-780-ESPN. Who is above criticism in sports? 713-780
Muhammad Ali?
3776. He was very criticized.
Because of the draft dodging?
Sure. I mean, he got banned from boxing, right? Well, I think they stripped him of his titles.
But I think overall, there was a small fragment at the time looked at that as something that they wanted to criticize. But I think overall, now that when you look back at his career and his life, I don't know that many people criticize anything Ali.
A lot of that's forgiven now,
yeah.
For sure. I think Jackie Robinson would be on a short list here. 713-780 ESPN. Who should not be criticized?
Now, someone said Tim Duncan on the Twitch line, and Tim Duncan, for all he did on the field, there with his divorce and his wife was pointing out things, and it got a little messy for a while. So there was that. I mean, but look, Timmy was otherwise, you know, in terms of his career and the way he went about his business, there's a ton to be, you know, very, very complimentary of with Tim Duncan.
The big fundamental.
Until Charlie Palillo says that he's higher on the all-time list than Hakeem Olajuwon, and then all hell breaks loose.
You know what I think is an interesting one?
A lot of people think that.
Yeah, I know.
Bill Belichick, I think, would be on this list a couple years ago. And I wonder if that's changed. I don't think you could have questioned him while Brady was still there.
But he's such an a-hole that everybody criticizes that.
I think in particular, it gets really hard to criticize coaches or managers with I'm not even going to say two, like three plus championships. And it's like, I don't care how it gets done. Like, clearly you're doing something right.
Yeah, but there's still plenty to criticize when, like, look at the way both those guys, especially, like, how about Saban the same way? But when
you can't criticize Saban.
Saban lights up a sideline reporter. And that was a big deal, and he had to apologize because he looks like a crotchety old man. And he was inappropriate. And you look at the way he handles press conferences. And you look at the fact that when...
I guess if you're talking about how they like are as people, like everybody's...
That's a factor. That's
I just didn't look at it that way because I think every human on the planet can be criticized for who they are as a person. Like they have something that they do wrong. As a coach or as a player, I think Saban is the least criticizable person out in sports.
There's no chance.
No way.
No chance. No Saban gets criticized all the time.
And he deserves it.
Deion Sanders was criticizing him the other day.
Yes, and even the fact that like when
Jimbo Fisher.
And the story that came out about the intimidation factor with the doorbell clicker, where in his office he makes sure to scare the crap out of you and intimidate you. You slam the door behind him.
What are there, 150 Division I teams?
Football, yeah, roughly.
How many of their fan bases would take Saban without a second of thought?
But that's not the topic of the discussion.
I think it's every single one.
No, A&M wouldn't take Saban over Fisher, which might be delusional, A&M would not take Saban over Jimbo Fisher right now.
I don't respect somebody who would not take Saban. 713-780-ESPN.
That's not the
I wouldn't take Saban over Dana Holgorsen.
That's not the topic of the conversation.
I'm just looking at the conversation differently than you because,
you're looking at sports interest.
Other coaches are going to criticize you, of course, because they look up to Saban and go, I can't beat that guy.
Who was the sideline reporter that he totally went after?
She went to NBC.
Was it Maria Taylor?
Yep.
He rightfully got criticized for that. I mean, look, he's not the best friend, you know, sweetheart of college football off the field, and he's a crotchety old man in a lot of ways. But yeah, from a winning perspective, you got to tip your cap to him. But Belichick's an a-hole too.
I'm not going to. So quit asking. He yelled at Maria Taylor. Maria Taylor goes, "Gotcha."
As people, I'm sure a lot of I think every coach in the world can probably be criticized as people.
UT Chuck, go ahead. Sorry.
That part doesn't matter to me. Like I'm not concerned about whether or not they can be criticized as people.
I bet you whenever Nick Saban loses a playoff game for Alabama, I guarantee you Crimson Tide fans are unhappy with certain things. I bet you there's Crimson Tide fans that are unhappy that he didn't finish with the top recruiting class in college football the most recent year.
I'm sure you're right, but man, I would have a really hard time criticizing Saban.
I bet you there's Astros fans that don't believe that Dusty Baker should be criticized for anything because they're in first place and have the best record in the American League.
That's facts. That's true.
I'll stand on a table and say, as a coach, Nick Saban should not be criticized for anything.
I think if you're picking one coach over any, then he's probably at the top of that list.
I think Belichick's right there, too.
Yeah, but Belichick, you can point to how was he done since Brady left. You don't have that conversation with Saban.
Greg Popovich, too.
But he's not. I mean, what has he done lately?
But talk about sustained success. At a certain point, you have to fall off.
See, to me, it's the difference between college and pros. But Saban as a college football coach is unmatched.
Right, because in the pros, you're only going to catch those superstars every so often. In college, you can just reload every year.
Yeah, I think it's easier to sustain success in college, sure. UT Chuck has my answer. He says no one's above criticism. I could not agree
more.
That's true. That to me is my
answer. What about Nolan Ryan?
That's pretty hard to criticize Nolan Ryan. But he's never won a Cy Young.
Which is unbelievable, but you're not going to criticize him for that.
No, that's more of a, like, why isn't he the greatest pitcher ever conversation?
Yeah.
Not necessarily a criticism.
But to do it for as long as he did it, at the level he did it, with the amount of pitches he threw, innings he loaded up, and all those things.
He wasn't the nicest of people. From dudes from Chicago. He was not very kind to Robin Ventura. That was not the Southern hospitality that we expect down here in Texas.
But did he start it or did he finish?
Yeah, he hit him.
People in Texas will tell you he did what he was supposed to do.
He started it and finished it, Blinkers. He dotted him up and then he dotted his forehead.
Hitting him is part of baseball. If he comes out to charges the mound, all bets are off. And he stuck up for himself. He defended himself, and he beat his ass.
3367 says Robert Horry. He's above all criticism. I hear he's a gentle bend man, too, so that's probably true. Okay. 7225 said O.J. Simpson.
Are there any former Houston athletes you guys would think of?
Just said Nolan Ryan.
Akeem Olajuwon?
Yeah, yes.
Akeem Olajuwon, very much.
Akeem Olajuwon. Now, early in his career,
that
almost forced his way out. Late in his career, did leave.
Well, and was a very violent guy for a while. He went after Jake O'Donnell. You just
praise Ryan for being violent. Now you're saying that it's a criticism for Hakeem?
It was an official.
Oh.
not another player. It's all fine. It's okay if you're going to turn around and bitch slap Billy Paul.
He didn't slap an official.
He hit him in the nuts.
Accidentally.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Go Google it.
713-780-ESP. Somebody said Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron's a really good answer.
That's a great answer, too.
Dusty Baker used to know him. I don't know if you've heard that.
I've heard that.
But, yeah, Hank Aaron's a good answer. Michael Schumacher, the F1 racer. Driver. Old 3367's pulling at my heartstrings right now.
No, he said Case Keenum, didn't he?
Oh, that's another good one.
Ooh.
That's another good one. He said Julio Cesar Chavez. Oh, that's a good one. He did no wrong. His son's not the best. But senior? Ooh, Julio Cesar Chavez senior. Let's go out to the HRP listener line right now. We asked the question, what's the oldest you've been kissed by a man? Salvador, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's the oldest man that has kissed you? Or the oldest you've been?
Coach Sal in Bel Air. I love the show, guys. I've kissed my grandfather on the lips.
Yeah.
He's about 70. 75.
I think a lot of that's kind of like heritage, too.
Growing up, I got kissed on the lips by my mom and my dad forever. That never stopped. I kiss my kids on the lips. So if my dad comes to the house and I haven't seen him in a while, give him a kiss on the lips, give him a good hug. No big deal.
I have a joke right now. I'm not going to mention it. Sal, I appreciate you calling in and sharing that story. I think a lot of it's
Jerry, you haven't kissed Tom Herman on the lips?
I've kissed him on the cheek.
Okay.
He kissed me on the cheek.
Wait, you kissed him on the cheek or he kissed you? Because it was his thing.
I've never kissed Tom Herman. And Tom Herman has never kissed me. And it always bothered me a little bit.
I thought you said he kissed you on the cheek.
I was lying. I did it for cachet. I did it for cachet.
Oh.
I did it for the gram. Okay. I was always a little offended that Herman never kissed me. I thought we were tight. I thought we were boys. I watched Top Gun because of Tom Herman. Who is untouchable in sports? Who is above all criticism? We'll ask one of the Wheelhouse men that.
Cody Stoops.
Also, we'll ask them, are the Yankees struggles a consolation to back-to-back rough losses? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you again about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, Apollo Men's Health is all about getting people results. If you don't have energy like you once had on a daily basis and you want to get to feeling where you've got a little more pep in your step, you need to see the people at Apollo Men's Health. Because for men and for women, they have answers and solutions to get you more energy on a daily basis. It could be as simple as a B12 shot. Or if you want to get into hormone therapy, there are men and women in the lobby every time when I go in there that are thanking me for making them aware of the fact that Apollo Men's Health has made a difference in their life. Fact is, it could be something different. It could be something in the bedroom or something in the weight room or that energy you need at work and the boardroom. It's all under one roof in two locations at Apollo Men's Health. The answers are there. The solutions and the program that'll get you where you want to go. It's all part of what they do on a daily basis. Go and check out their website, apollomh.com. See all the services they offer and all the different ways they can help you. Then sign up for an appointment. When you come in and talk to those experts, they are going to show you from the jump that they care, that they want to get you results. But they're going to ask you tough questions to get to the bottom of it so they can put you on a program that works. If you're honest with them, if you have those conversations, they will get you the results. They will get you on a program that does what they said it's going to do. They do great things. Everything is there under one roof, like I said, from your smoothies and fat burners to being able to recover quicker to absolutely helping your workouts with a full body composition analysis. Check them out today and tell them I sent you by because you'll get that free body comp. Or you'll get a B12 shot free on your first official visit. We'll let the process go from there. Let them get results for you, too, like they did for me. Apollo Men's Health, they're making a difference every single day for you, the people of Houston.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We were asking the question, being joined by BK, yes. Who is above criticism in all sports?
My favorite wheelhouse.
And, of course, it is BK. I think BK is above all criticism in sports.
I thought you thought Cody was.
I didn't say that. Somebody else said that. Is that Framber Valdez's song? Valdez pitching in Chicago.
It is Framber's song.
Is it?
Remember? Because he was up and down and up and down. And then once we started playing the song, he completely went on an uptick.
Okay. I couldn't remember. The sudden I couldn't remember.
I actually
the middle
think
of it.
Sean Mapes filling in for Brendan yesterday forgot to play the Verlander song, and so he is actually to blame. So Dusty is off the hook. All of you that want to actually look for a true person to attack, Sean Mapes is it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've been looking for somebody to attack, so.
Coming up on the Wheelhouse, attack Sean Mapes.
For 4 hours.
With passion.
Mm-hmm.
And mean it.
He deserves it.
That's right.
Seen his haircut.
Do you know they're in first place as producers?
No.
Me either, but we're going to consider it as part of the discussion. Do you know that they're winning the division?
No.
Then don't be critical of Sean Mapes or Andrew Carlson or Brendan Riley. That's the way Astros fans think, buddy.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Sounds very good. We were, for some reason, Blankers was talking about kissing grown men on the lips.
I was?
Yeah, you brought it up.
You're the one that brought up Brady kissing his kids on the lips. I didn't bring this to the table.
You brought up
you
Brady.
Did.
So, I mean, you started the whole conversation. What's the, have you ever been kissed on the lips by a man?
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah, I haven't either.
When the drugs wore off? Yeah, you know, I don't know.
Hey.
Stuff happens.
Hey, college is a crazy time,
man. College. I didn't even know when, but there you go.
Especially in Austin.
Stuff happens. Sixth Street. Yeah. Look out.
Oh, man. You kidding me?
Well, I think that's more on Fifth Street.
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
Wouldn't that be accurate?
Yeah, Fifth and
it'd be
Fourth,
fifth.
Too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I heard that from a friend.
Did you?
Yeah.
He woke up there one
night.
Once
you snapped out of it and the drugs wore off.
Yeah, I guess that's the answer to your question.
Brad, you ever been to 4th Street? Nope, yes you have.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere between 4th and 5th.
Yep. No, to answer the question, honestly, like I don't remember my dad ever kissing me on the lips.
I don't either.
I'm sure it probably happened when I was a baby, but like in my knowledge of life.
Maury has kissed you on the lips several times. Your cousin.
I don't think that's ever happened.
I don't know.
Maybe he kisses his kids on the lips.
I firmly believe that.
Yeah, no, it didn't happen to me, thankfully.
Blanker said it happened to him at the oldest age of 24.
No, I did not say that.
What did you say? I thought you said it happened.
I said that growing up, that was not crazy in my household, that both my mom and my dad kissed the kids on the lips.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Yeah, again.
How'd you get 24 out of that?
I thought he
After
said 24.
After he brought the topic up of Brady kissing his kid on the lips, but then I brought it up.
Anyways, who's above reproach? In sports across the board, you can't criticize this person ever. They're above it all. Anything come to mind?
No. Honestly. I mean, maybe Peyton Manning. Oh. Yeah, there's plenty to criticize with Mac Brown.
Bill Self?
Well, he's got good hair, and it's real hair, too. Okay. Don't let anyone tell you
so
that's
is mine.
A soup.
Go see Doc Linville.
Exactly. Exactly. Maybe Peyton Manning, but there were rumors about him taking HGH towards the end of his playing career.
There were some rumors about he and an athletic trainer at Tennessee.
Yeah. That happened
too.
I think
right.
he likes his tea unsweet.
Way after the fact. Yeah. That came up. Yep.
So even him, like he feels like one of, if not the most likable athletes in the world. Like you can find stuff
Joe
to
Montana?
Criticize him.
He was terrible on television.
I don't think he's going to. I think that was your personal opinion. I don't know many people say that
disagree.
Or revert to that.
Everybody thought Joe Montana was terrible on television.
But they don't criticize. Again, to use Brendan's point, we're not talking about that. And I think as it relates to just his career, I don't think anybody's really had anything negative to say about Joe Montana.
What about Jim Brown?
He was pretty controversial, though. He liked to stir it up.
Okay. I'm just thinking, like, it would have to be a guy pre-social media.
Somebody said, somebody said Hank Aaron. I think Hank Aaron's a really good one.
Yep.
Some people would criticize Hank Aaron.
In what way?
Racist would criticize Hank Aaron, I would think. So everybody is criticizable, if that's a word. No one's above criticism in this life.
Coming up on Who Said It on Friday.
Yeah.
There's that one right there.
You guys already know.
Yep.
Bill Russell.
Bill Russell's a good one. But again, there's just to what BK just said, there's going to be people that.
I mean, y'all just eliminated every black man ever then.
Well, there are people who are racist towards
Lin
white
Swan.
People. Asian people, towards Hispanic people.
So basically no one.
Yeah, no one's above criticism.
I don't think so.
Somebody
either.
Hates everybody.
It's pretty much true.
In this world. Like there's at least one person
look at our
who
Twitch.
Hates everybody. Yeah, well, there are a lot of people who hate us.
Yes.
Somebody said Derek Jeter. Whoever said that never saw Derek Jeter play defense.
There you go.
Or got slighted on a gift basket.
Mm.
Did they know that was coming?
The gift baskets?
Yeah.
He says it never did.
But did the women think that?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
But then if they found out that other women got it and they didn't, what the hell's going on around here?
Yeah, there had to be a word of mouth thing going on there, right?
There's a lot of mouth.
Yeah, well, that too.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
By the way, on that note, I did catch my first ever K-Rod cast the other night because the Red Sox-Yankee game was just not interesting.
The highest rated K-Rod cast of all time.
Everybody was
you.
Expecting like a knockdown, dragout, a continuation of A-Rod and Jeter. All it said to me was A-Rod is just unbearable to be to like you can't believe anything he says and it's impossible to watch because of him.
I think he's a decent studio analyst, but as a color commentator, I think he does a terrible job.
Trying to do any of that though, the ad libs and the conversational aspect of like a talk show element.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you just want to just break the change the channel and then break the remote.
That's too much of him. Like BK was saying, you get him in the studio, he's talking for like three or four times at 30 to 60 seconds.
And he's
pop.
Got Poppy and other guys to kind of offset it.
Yeah, like you're talking about two guys and a guest. So you're getting, I mean, a baseball game that goes three and a half hours. That's a lot of Alex Rodriguez. That's too much of Alex Rodriguez. I agree with BK. He's way better in the studio than he is on a game and on A-Rod cast.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
It's also too much Yankees on a weekly basis.
Yeah. Well, they're on Sunday Night Baseball every Sunday.
That's what I'm saying. It's too much Yankees every week. Get some other people that aren't all ex-Yankee employees or current Yankee employees.
Yeah. I love your Sunday Night Baseball hot takes. I think most people just turn it off.
It was better than the game itself, and it's the only sports thing going on Sunday night.
It's true. For a couple more weeks.
And I watched the captain, as you know, so I wanted to see what the Jeter responses would be if some of the questions came out, but there wasn't any of the hard-pressing questions asked.
Speaking of men kissing men on the lips, remember when A-Rod kissed his own lips in the mirror? I think it was an SI. It might have been like...
Is that the same one where they did the shirtless picture?
Yeah. Yeah. He kissed his mirror image.
That's weird.
Yeah,
but
not, very bizarre.
But very believable.
It's very A-Rod.
Very A-Rod.
Very, very A-Rod. Speaking of the Yankees, are the Yankees' struggles a consolation to the Astros' back-to-back losses?
Hell yeah, they are. You kidding me? Like, I feel like there's, you guys know this, but I feel like there's a misconception amongst Astros fans that this team has been playing really well as of late. They're 8-6 since the deadline. Like, not bad, not awful, but not as good as they've been the rest of the way this season. But because the Yankees just can't win anything, they've extended their lead.
They've lost first 11 of 13.
Yeah, they took over, first of all, and then they extended their lead for the top seed in the American League. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely a consolation prize. If the Yankees were staying on their stretch and the Astros were losing games like they lost the last two nights, I think there'd be much more panic and uproar in this town.
Do you? How much do you want the Astros to be the top seed? How much of a factor do you think it could play?
Not much.
Yeah.
Like, I want them to be the top seed. I want that Game 7 at home, but...
Maybe it won't get there.
Like, yeah, maybe it won't get there. I won't lose any sleep over it. I mean, you guys have talked about it, right? It almost feels like the 3-6 winner is a better matchup or an easier opponent than the 4-5 winner. So you've got that to consider, too. But it's not supposed to be easy, right? Like, you got to go through good teams. You got to win games on the road if you want to find your way to a World Series once again. So I'd prefer the one seed. I think that goes without saying. But I don't think it's going to affect this team too much. They can get there as a 2.
I hate being on the fence about it, but that's pretty much where I'm at. Well, I'll be okay with either one.
I think the biggest is taking care of your own business. If you're healthy going into whoever you play, and you are the team that we've seen perform every game this year, you realize you can play with it. They can play with anybody. They're going to be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at these other teams, and if it's the Dodgers losing a Bueller, or if it's the Yankees losing a Carpenter, or it's certain things where every team right now is enduring some injuries that are also – you don't want to be hobbling into the playoffs. So, again, when you have the lead they have in the division, that's why it's even more hyper-important that you coast, you don't press.
Yeah, and that's why – look, I mean, people criticize days off Dusty all the time, but like I assume...
We don't criticize Dusty here.
I assume that's part of his logic, right? Whether you call it logic or not, like I assume he's like, all right, man, if I give my guys time off, then we've got a better chance of having everybody healthy when we go to October. Now, my biggest criticism, and I think it's y'all's too, is, hey, when you give a guy a day off, you don't need to insert that player into his spot
right.
in the lineup.
Right.
Like, we don't need Dubon leading off. We don't need... Yuli, I guess, is a starter.
Stuck
still,
in the two hole.
We don't
no
need him in the two
hole.
Like, that's more of my issue, but Dusty's always been that guy to give dudes days off. And I think part of it is you can coast a little bit because you've got such a massive lead in the division. And hell, if the Yankees keep down this path, you could coast almost even more because you feel good about the one seed.
Yeah, it's just weird. Okay, you're getting a day off. My leadoff hitter is getting a day off. The guy feeling for him is going to be my leadoff hitter.
Has anybody else ever done that?
I'm sure it was always done pre-2000 baseball.
Has anybody else that's won a World Series in their career done that?
Everybody pre-1980.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure it's happened somewhere. I'm sure Dusty didn't come up with this idea, but it does feel like it's behind the times.
It's coming up on The Wheelhouse.
Jesse Rogers, who covers baseball for ESPN, located in Chicago, he's going to join us at 3:30 to talk about this series a little bit. And then Davis Mills with Peter King. What would shocking the world mean for the 2022 Houston Texans? We'll try to figure out what QB1 was talking about. about.
Yeah, we'll be listening. That's a good question. What does shocking the world mean? You have to be listening to The Wheelhouse. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
LeBron.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.